Father, thank you that we can come together tonight. Thank you, Lord, that your Spirit, Lord, guide us into all truth. Lord, that as we, Lord, are open to your Spirit, Lord, you bring us from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Lord, that we may all, Lord, come to experience more and more of your power, of your glory, and on the victory, Lord, that you want to manifest in our life. We ask you, Lord, that we may be, Lord, sensitive and listening to you so that we might progress in the way, Lord, that you are preparing us and getting us ready for the time when Jesus comes. Just let us, Lord, be having ear to ear and eyes to see, have a heart ready, Lord, to be obedient and to, Lord, fulfill the call that you have for each one of us. Lord, we praise and thank you in advance, for we believe, Lord, that we are going to see things, Lord, more and more evident in our life and in the world around us. We praise you and thank you for everything you've done already, and for the things you're going to be doing, even tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 So, we've been talking about the remnant. Okay. And, you know, understanding that this is not just something that happens just by chance is important for us to realize and to come to realize that, you know, we play a part in being part of it. Okay. There is a preparation time. Okay. And, you know, the preparation time, I don't see actually much happening in that direction. I see other things, as we're going to see. I see other things that show, you know, that there are some changes that have to take place. Okay. But one of the things I was sharing last week was in Hebrews chapter 5. You know what, in verse 12, you know, what says there is, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to me need milk and not solid food. Okay. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. For solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Okay, here he's talking about, you know, 2,000 years ago, just about. But the thing is, the problem is a common problem even today. And, you know, we had to realize that we need to grow from just eating, you know, receiving milk, which is easy to digest food, to solid food, which is really more difficult to digest in many different ways. Okay. The point is that makes the difference between, you know, what the milk is and what the, you know, solid food is. You know, it says, you know, everyone partakes milk, you know, this is stuff that we are easy to take and, you know, basic beliefs, basic things that God wants to do, you know, but remains there, doesn't progress from the basic truth and beliefs and still they are, they're not experiences in the things that are more critical, you know, the word of righteousness, in which, you know, our righteousness, our right standing with God is developed inside us because of the things of the word that we receive, that we appropriate, that we hear. You know, it's not just question of, you know, going around, doing the things we do, falling all the time, mistaking, and continuously end up sinning and repenting and being forgiven. It's not, there is word of righteousness involved, the fact that we start walking righteously, and so we are not tossed around anymore. This is what God wants to do. That's what we have to do for us at this time. That's what has to happen in believers. If they don't, listen to the Holy Spirit, if they do not apply, you know, the not just the basic principle, you know, get saved, they get, you know, say this prayer or the other prayer or go, you know, then you always need somebody to help them instead of really helping others. I don't know the way you're going to handle the world. The world is coming and it's pretty close. Okay. So, and the thing is, you know, that the way we know that is because the way we understand, the way we get to solid food, you know, because we are full age, developed and so on, matured, okay, because of the reason, okay, of use, right, because of the practice that we do and, you know, develop or, you know, develop our senses, the ability, the discernment, okay, to distinguish between good and evil, okay, to know what is right and what is wrong, to know what we should be doing and what we shouldn't be doing, to know the things that are going to be productive and helpful to us or not helpful to us. And this is critical at the time of this, okay? I don't see, okay, necessarily much of this taking place, but more other stuff that really are not helping too much people. There is so much emphasis on, you know, things like prophecies, you know, end time prophecy that doesn't help anybody because, you know, the only thing it does, instead of developing faith, it develops fear, you know, and security. What am I going to do? You know, instead of developing understanding to know that, that should not be our focus they should have, okay? Our focus should be in the things that we developing, the ability to overcome our situation, the problem you are in our life, you know, we receive healing for ourselves, praying for others for healing, praying for others for ministry, you know, having breakthrough in our life and producing breakthrough in others. And, developing our ability to serve others. That is really the part that is completely missing today in the church. You know, everybody is trying to get something instead of giving something. Well, my Bible says that he's more blessed in giving than receiving. And that's the way we actually grow. Because instead of being self-centered, we are other-centered and we minister life to others. And because life is flowing through us, then we are going to experience life. And that's the only way actually to grow. That's the only way to develop. And unless we learn to do that, then we are there struggling all the time, trying to get God to do the things that you already done for us, and complain because they don't happen. And we have to learn to understand that no matter what place we are at, we can overcome the place we are at and grow deeper and better, but we had to want to do that. You know, we had to want to make ourselves available, make ourselves listening to the direction of the Holy Spirit, learning to, you know, get out of ourselves and you know, participating in his body as his members, not our own little things, what I can get going to church, but what I can do, you know, by being part of his body so that I can be able to, you know, do the part that is required in the body that God has gifted me for, whatever the things, you know. And the idea is that there is so much confusion in this area in the church today. Everybody wants to be, you know, you just see the way things are, and I'm going to show a bit more later on. But it's really what, you know, remember the parable of the 10 virgins, we can see the difference. And we can see really that should be a reference point for us believers in the things that we have to be open to and listen and to receive and to spend time in. Okay. And really the one that had the oil, okay, went to the marriage supper of the Lamb, or the, you know, the marriage feast, and the other one were left out, and they were virgin. That means, you know, they had cleaned themselves up, but cleaning themselves up is not enough for that. You had to have the Holy Spirit oil to give you the direction and the power, and has to be operating and manifesting in you. And, you know, that doesn't happen because, you know, you read the Bible every day. That happens because you connect with God every day and you are obedient to God every day and are following his direction. That's what makes the difference. That's what is producing, is going to produce, you know, an impact on your results. Okay. And really, you know, it's a way that that is carried out that makes a difference. I see so many people getting into the ministry and messing it up completely. I've, you know, helped lots of people to get into the ministry, and when they got off a tangent because they did not listen. The only thing we're doing is doing their own thing, and that doesn't work. Okay, that doesn't produce the result. Okay, the realization that we have to have, that we are really close to the coming of the Lord. I mean, there are, the indication are many, but, you know, it's not by looking at all the things that happen every day. It's by just simply realizing that we are close to that and doing the things that get us ready for it. That means get us in the communion, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, learning to operate in the Holy Spirit, okay, and not going according to tradition. See, today's church is mostly running but on tradition and not on the way the church operated at the beginning. And this is a real problem because there are 2,000 years of tradition that are accumulated in the church. And the way the church, the way the body of Christ appears today is exactly the opposite of what appeared at the beginning. There are some things evident in the operation of the church, and nobody even talk about this stuff. And the reason is because they don't even see it. Because if they would be able to see it, they would talk about it. Okay. One of the things that is evident and manifest is that there are more prophets and apostles today than have ever been in Christianity, according to their definition, according to the way they call themselves. If that would be so, if that would be the truth, the church would be very strong. The point is, there is no effect on all this talking about. The indication that this is a farce. I don't care what anybody else says. if their job, the job of the fivefold ministry, is to prepare the people. The church is not prepared, because the position the church is in today is much less effective than it has been for 2,000 years. The world is taking over. So don't tell me that the church is powerful. The influence of the church in the world is decreased. And if it was true that the fivefold ministry was doing the job that they should be doing, then the result that are said in Ephesians chapter 4 that they should be doing should be manifest. The fact is, it's not manifest. It's the opposite. So, this prophet, what are they talking about? They talk about what people want to hear instead of really pointing out the prophet in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, always is warning the church for the things that they should be changed. There is no warning here. They're only just getting excited about stuff that really is not true anyway. You can accept it or not, doesn't make any difference. Just check out things, see what's happening, see what the world is doing. That's the problem with the church. Because if the church would have done the job that they're doing, we wouldn't be like that. We should influence the world, not the world influence the church. Now, you know, so... And Jesus said, when these things happen, you know, Matthew 24, you see that with these things, know that is that know that it is near, at the door. Okay. Surely I say to you, this generation will not may pass away, you know, this time we are in, you know, till these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will by no means pass away. This is, you know, Jesus was giving an urgent, serious call. Okay, we need to make spiritual progress, not to just get relaxed and do our own thing and so on. Okay. And, you know, there are many scriptures. I'm not going to go into the scripture because the people are going through the scripture even far too much. And the only thing they do is talk about, try to identify this and the other thing. Completely immaterial, has nothing to do, is not helping anybody. The only thing is this, wasting your time and wasting your focus in things that actually one should focus on, which is actually to change, to grow, to repent, to become more like Jesus, so that we can be an influence on the world around us instead of being scared and influenced by the world around us. So I really find this rather concerning. And, you know, it matches completely what the word says would happen. And so that indicates that, yes, we are there. But, you know, the key thing is now for us to grow. Okay. You know, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, just to point kind of a couple of things before we move into really the areas that we need to focus at this time. Okay, at the changes that should be taking place in us. See, the remnant is the one that embraces the changes and, you know, start manifesting what God wants. Okay, so concerning this time and season, you know, brethren, you have no need for I to write to you. That's what Paul writing here. Okay. So, you know, when, you know, we have to realize that we need to, you know, instead of growing fearful, we have to grow faithful in our faith, not in our fear. You don't grow in your faith by looking at all the problems. You grow in your faith by looking at God, to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit that you have, you know, available for you to live in your life. That's the way you grow. That's the way you develop. Okay. But that's not the emphasis. there. Okay. And, you know, we had to realize that, you know, when a ship is sinking, you know, you better jump off the ship, the direction it's taking, soon enough, because otherwise it's too late. Okay. Now, let me continue. You know, for yourself, know perfectly that the day of the Lord is so calm, okay, as a thief in the night. So, you know, just happen instantaneously. The thing is, you know, people hope for things to get better. And when they're going to start to look better, that's the time when the worst is going to happen. Okay. Verse 3 says, for when they say peace and safety, okay, sudden destruction come upon them, as a labor of pain upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Now, this is, you know, how they can say peace and safety in the situation you are in today. Well, the direction is taking, how do you think peace and safety is going to do? It's not peace and safety. It's canceling the truth. It's by not allowing anybody to talk about the things that are there, that are the problem, so that the Antichrist is going to be able to grow and take the position and control, and he's the one that's going to produce the peace, which actually is not peace. That's a complete bondage. So, you see, when people start thinking, oh, things are going to get better, actually what happens is because the control over the world is going to increase and all the truth problems are going to be silenced. That's the peace and safety that's going to take place in the future. And it's already happening. Okay? All these things, that's exactly the strategy that they are using, and they are implementing it. We should be awake and not fall for these things, know what's taking place, but instead of you know, being concerned about that, is to develop the power and the strength to stand firm, unmoved by the things that are going around us. Not looking at the physical things, because physical things are no importance. What is important is the spiritual things that are happening within us that are going to make a difference. Okay. So, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that the day should overtake you as a thief. For you are sons of the light, and son of the day, and you are not of the night nor darkness. Okay? It's not that you are the son of the light. That means we see, we understand, but doesn't affect us, it doesn't change us, it just gives us more motivation to move in the right direction. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. Okay, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night, and this is the problem. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting the breastplate of faith and love. See, those are the two things that we have to develop within ourselves, faith and love. And love doesn't mean, you know, love means, you know, that this is our faith applied to other people. Okay, and as the helmet of hope of salvation, as an helmet, hope of salvation. So this is the idea that we have to put on. So the breastplate that's going to protect us from all these influences around us, faith and love. Those two things are fruit of the Spirit. Unless we are connected with the Holy Spirit, they are not going to be growing stronger. We have to make those things stronger. And we can do that by exercising our faith, responding to the Holy Spirit, being obedient, not to follow the traditions of the church. because the church has been, you know, deviant from the truth for 2,000 years. We have to get back to where the church was, the way it was operating at the beginning, and not the way it's been built for 2,000 years. And Jesus said that, not me. For God did not appoint us, put on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of hope of salvation. So you see, you have protected in your thinking and in your emotion by the hope of salvation, which actually is expectation of salvation. The hope there, hope is not just, I hope I'm going to get saved. No, this is, a lively expectation for you to be saved. I'm believing and I'm going to make it and I'm going to do. This is the position that you have in your heart. Okay. And the way your heart is protected is because you are full of faith and full of love. And those two things are not just theoretical things. These are things that are manifested in your behavior, your actions, your position, the way you deal with others, and so on and so forth. Okay. And then, you know, that was as a result of this, as a result of this position I'm talking about, you know, chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 says, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, we are not appointed to have the problems of the world. See, this is what God planned for us. We have to understand that, and this has to be our expectation, our lively expectation, okay, of salvation. We are not going to get involved with the mess of the world. Why? Because we have faith and we have hope, and they're operating in us, and we are, there is an impact in our life, and instead of being impacted by the world around us, we impact the world. We make a difference on the people we come in contact with. So that is really, I think, very important to understand. That's a starting point at the time we are in. If we do not realize this thing, then there is not going to be the motivation to actually implement the changes in us, because some changes need to be taking place. Okay, we have to realize this is important. I mean, this, you know, after all, this was repeated in many different places, but here is, to me, it's so clear, okay, that, you know, God has not appointed us to wrath. So what the business about? But we have to be ready and worthy of his mercy, worthy of his, you know, to be actually excluded from what's going to happen to everybody. And that's not going to be just because, we said this little prayer. There is expectation of much more than that. Oh, yeah, we're going to go to heaven. But that's not God's plan for us. He has want more from us. He wants us to becoming like Jesus. And if this is true for every believer, independently of where they're coming from, the race they are on, whatever it is, their education, their whatever things, you know, if we are open to the Holy Spirit, doesn't matter what, we get spiritual direction in our life to manifest what God wants in our life. His plan, a future and an hope. So now, in Ephesians chapter 4, you know, relate to the, you know, the things that we want to understand and apply to our life. Okay. This warning, you know, means nothing in theory if we don't know what to do with it. Okay, we need to understand what we can do, and we have to be willing to take the steps that are required. And I feel strongly that the Lord has been directing us, you know, in this direction, to move and grow in this direction, to make an impact, to make a change, and to, you know, guide us into the path that is required to have in these days, because there is not much time left. Okay. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 says, "But this I say, therefore, and testify of the Lord, that you no longer walk as the rest of the Gentile walk in the futility of their mind." You know, and I'm not talking about just the Gentile here. I'm talking about, you know, most of the people do that, exactly that. I can see that most people actually work according to the way, the training of the thinking of the world, including believers. Okay. Verse 18 says, in the futility of walking according to our own reasoning is the problem. Okay. Having their understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. You see, problem is with the heart. There is blindness. Jesus said, many, you know, they have eyes, they don't have eyes to see and ear to hear. And this is really the blindness of the heart is talking about. Okay. We are trained to think and to reason and to plan according to our own mind. Okay. And that's what the church has been doing, you know, for 2,000 years. Follow the church tradition for 2,000 years is not going to get you where God wants you to be. We are to try to, you know, trying to do the same thing over and over again with more intensity, more repetitions, and so on, you know, is not going to make you overcome. You're going to feel, you failed before, and you're going to feel after. That is complete insanity to continue to do the same thing and expect to get different results. Okay. What we have to do is to actually to be open to the Holy Spirit. Okay. And identify what are men's traditions and change them. Okay. That Jesus said very clearly. You know, it was true even for the Pharisees of those days, the religious people, the most keen religious people of the day, were the ones who were following the tradition of the Jews. Okay? And Jesus said, you know, you make the word of God of no effect, Matthew 7:13, make the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. So you see, that's really the problem that generally happens. We tend to be, especially religious people, tend to be traditional instead of listening to the Holy Spirit. Jesus was everything but traditional. He changed everything. Okay. If we want to really listen to God, we have to learn to be sensitive. Okay. If you look at the church today, is just most of it handed down tradition. The church organization is not the way it was organized at the beginning. The church structure is not the way it was organized at the beginning. The way the meetings are not the way we were organized at the beginning. Even prayer and worship is not the way it was done at the beginning. But try to change something like that, and you're going to get nowhere because everybody doesn't want to change anything. Why do I say that? Because when you follow men's tradition, as I said before, you made the word of God of no effect. That means there is going to be no power. There's going to be not the ability, okay, to see just a show of doing things, but there is not the power of God manifested. This is what God, you know, speaking through Paul, said it so very clearly, you know, I know nothing except the power of God, so that your faith may not be based on the wisdom of man, but on the power of God. That's the way the church should operate. This is why the falling away is taking place, because the power isn't there. Okay. People more, you know, go after the show instead of really seeing the power, where it is. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says, but this know that in the last day perilous time will come. Why they will come? For men will be lovers of themselves. This is not just, you know, it's including believers. Lovers of money, boaster, proud, blasphemer, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, without, you know, brutal, despiser of good, traitors, and strong, only lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Okay. We apply this to the people in the world. I'm sorry, the church statistics are exactly the same as that in the world. So if the results are the same, that means the same type of spirits are going to be there operating. Okay. And though the results of that, okay, because of that, they have a form of godliness, but deny his power. And that's the thing that is missing today. And what it says, from such, turn away. Now, you know, the power there is dunamis, which actually, you know, the supernatural power of God. And he said, avoid that kind of situation. And then goes on and explains about what that happened within the church. For this sort are those who creep into household and make captive valuable women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning, but never come to the knowledge of the truth. That means, you know, doesn't mean that they're not reading the Bible, doesn't mean they go to Bible study, but just doesn't do any good because they don't come to the, they are always learning. So evidently, this is talking about believers, not unbelievers. See, we never apply that to ourselves, apply that to other people. And we just miss the boat by doing that. We have to start with ourselves. Never say to others, that's what you have to do. We say to ourselves that we have to do, because that's that talking to us. God, that's talking to us. Okay, so if you are always learning but not learning, okay, that means that we are going, are doing things. You know, well, you know, going from meeting to meeting, looking for the thrill. That's a God-seeker movement. You know, what do they get? From revival to revival, but they're just as dead as the revival as they were before them. What's the matter? They should change then. I don't see the change. I see always the same mistake repeated over and over. Just listening to the word and never doing what the word says doesn't do any good. The thing is, it's not going to meeting that you are going to grow spiritually. It's by doing what God says, serving others, being used by God in the body. That's what makes a difference. That's what you're supposed to do. Bible studies is theory. Application makes the difference. Walking in the word makes a difference. Walking in the light, the way it says in 1 John. Okay. The problem is, you know, the spirit that the people that are leading the things that I've been talking about, they make the show. Okay, that those spirits are transferred to the people following. That transference of spirit. So the communication of that takes place is about values that are wrong values, and so the result are wrong values and wrong result. See, one of the things that, you know, people talk about the authority of the believer. Okay? Great topic. The point is, You know, there is no authority without submission. Authority is a result of delegation. It's not our authority, it's His authority. And unless we are properly connected within the body, you have no authority. Doesn't matter what you believe. It's not what you believe that counts. It's the truth that is manifested or not. This is solid food. It's not milk. Okay? Everybody wants to be leaders. And they think that that will give them authority. That doesn't work that way. See, everybody wants to be the fivefold ministry. They think that that is something that they can want to have. No, that is something that God gives. That is God appointed. There are more people involved in the thinking that they are getting to the ministry than you think. And as soon as they, you know, they get some a little bit of training, they think, well, I'm going to go and, you know, I'm going to start my own thing because I want to do it my own way. I'm sorry. They fail most of the time, or they got the alpha tangent, or they get really the wrong things. Okay, that's not. See, the Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says very clearly, He Himself gave some to be apostle, prophet, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Doesn't say that you get these things because you go to the school, because you go to the seminary, that they now they teach everything wrong anyway. And I'm an apostle, you know, lots of people, or I'm a prophet. I'm sorry, you can't do that. You don't become a prophet by going to school prophet. You know, you are appointed that or you are not. Because it doesn't work by the title. It's not a title. It's an anointing and is a gifting that you got before anyway. You were built for that. You know, in James chapter 3, verse 1 says very clearly, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. You know, if you see in the Bible, Moses was called, we could all agree on that, to be a prophet of God and to lead the children of Israel to freedom. What was his position? Me? God? Get somebody else. Somebody that can speak well, somebody that, you know, is able. Well, he was called because he had that kind of an attitude. He wasn't going around with, symbol on his chest, say, you know, pastor, teacher, evangelist, or whatever. That doesn't make you one. Because what you had to do is not what people want to hear. You had to do a job that God calls you to do. And that sometimes is the worst things that you had to do because it's not fun to say to do things that people don't like to hear. Okay, but that's not what's done most of the time. You know, their job, okay? You know, God himself gave it to them to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. There are more the people of this time. There are more apostles, more the prophets than ever been in Christianity. Everybody goes around, I'm prophet that time, prophet then that. Oh, who are you? Why you are a prophet? Tell me who I am. It's nonsense. All that stuff is nonsense. They go around prophesying on everybody. That's ridiculous. I saw so many people messed up their life completely by this kind of work. And I've been around for enough years to can tell you there are no actual cases. So the job is to the equipping of the saint to the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. See, the work of the ministry has to be done by the body of Christ, not by these people. These people are equipping only people to be able to minister, to encourage them, to show them what to do, to help them, so that they start doing it. That shouldn't be their job. Until, and the following few verses tell the whole story. Until we all come to the unity of the faith. I mean, do you think that today there is unity of the faith? You just take, go on YouTube, you listen to 15 different messages, and you get the 15 different messages, the 15 different theologies. That's the unity of the faith? That's not a unity of the faith. That's a complete confusion. If you want to get confused, go on YouTube and start listening to videos. That's not the way it was done at the beginning. That's not the way it should be done. That's completely contrary to what the Bible says, that there should be operating with a fivefold ministry that is connected with you, that you know them, and you work with them, and are trained to actually do the ministry, do the serving that need to be done. You know, ministry, people think ministry is something, ministry, the word ministry, actually, I don't even like it. It should be serving. That's the proper translation of ministry. Okay. That's their job, is to serve others so they can serve. Okay, they all to come to the unity of the faith and on the knowledge of the Son of God. I mean, that means you start to know, you start to be like Jesus. That's the way you become like him. You know him as he is. Okay, let me continue. To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, that should be the result that we manifest. Verse 14, that we no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried on by every wind of doctrine. That's exactly what takes place today. Every 2 months or every year, there are a new current that is developed with all this idea, and about one year after, everything is thrown away because they have sold enough books and there are somebody else coming out with new books. That's not the way, and that is the reason of that is because by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting. You see, they are going after the money. They're going after their ministry. It's not their ministry. It's his ministry, and we are serving him. Okay. And so the fact is, speaking the truth in love, that we may grow all in all things unto him, who is the head, Christ. That's the result that the fivefold ministry should produce. Not a bunch of elite people, but, a bunch, the whole body operating and functioning and serving the way it's supposed to work, the way it was at the beginning. Okay. Verse 16, for the whole body, join and knit together by every joint supplies. So everybody, according to the effectiveness working, which is every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying itself in love. So you see, the fact is, knit together, every joint supply, every part coming together, and the love of God operating in that produces the result, working through the body. Now, if you believe it or not, that's the way the remnant is going to be. Now, this is not happening. The majority of the cases, there's more confusion and heresy spreading like wildfire everywhere. So something is not working. I think what we have to do is to get back to ground zero, to eliminate all the traditional men, all the stories that have been built together. They do not correspond anymore to the scriptures, but correspond to the tradition that been passed around by 2,000 years of religious ideas. Going back to ground zero, that's the starting point that we had to take. We had to examine our beliefs, examine what we do, examine in light of the scriptures, not according to our thinking, the way the mind ruled by the thinking of men or tradition, but what the scriptures say. And be ready to say, okay, does it make much or not? Does it produce the result they should produce or not? Because, it doesn't produce the result we read it before. It's not the truth. When a little truth happened in the church, there is always a big impact. Okay? And there is a manifestation of power all the time. The thing is, get mixed up together with the other traditional men and the old power disappear almost instantaneously. And while at the same time there is some power, there is also confusion, so that there is going to be crazy manifestation that go with it. So I really think there is, one has to look at it in general, the theology is accepted, the doctrine is accepted, and see how scriptural those doctrines are. How supported by the scriptures the beliefs that we have are. And then come to some conclusion and be honest about the thing and not just accept something because everybody believes it. Because what everybody believes doesn't work. Now, I'm not saying everybody's wrong. I'm saying, generally, there is so much stuff is going around that is so ineffective and so produces all the wrong results and may even put up a big show, but doesn't produce any power. The world goes after these things. These things are popular, but they don't solve any problems. That's the thing we had to come to realize. And when we realize that, then we start taking a step back and see, okay, what is that we should actually base ourselves on? See, that's what, by reason of use, by our experience, we start recognizing the difference between good and evil. Because the devil doesn't come with a pitchfork and horns to show himself. He comes as an angel of light in which he's going to look really pious and religious. And that's why, that you couldn't take Jesus, because when Jesus spoke the truth in love, nobody wanted to hear him. If Jesus come today, in some way Jesus is with us today, if he annoys people to speak the truth, nobody is going to listen. Because it doesn't fit the pattern that is accepted today by the way of thinking of people. It wasn't fitting the pattern of the Pharisees, nothing much has changed. Okay, I think eternity is okay. I never thought that I could go back into talking about ground zero. Really, you see, that's the bottom line, is the renewal of the mind. The renewal of the mind is where things start to happen. That means we walk not anymore with the eyes blinded by the reasoning, our own reasoning, but we start changing the way we think, the way God thinks, the way Jesus thought. There was nobody more revolutionary in the way of thinking than Jesus. Can you agree with that statement? I mean, he was turning everything upside down. They just didn't like even to half of the things he said. The only thing he said, who do you think he is? He's just the son of the carpenter there. They didn't even go there to get prayed for when he was in Nazareth. When they didn't know his background, they may be open because there were miracles taking place all over the place, but that's another story. I don't want to get into that, the renewal of the mind for tonight, because I want to have enough time to expand and to see how that applies to us in the, first of all, because it's already an hour and a half that we've been going on, so that's long enough. Second is because we want to cover enough material to start developing the idea, okay, how that applies practically, not just in theory, okay, in our life. Because, you know, Christianity is completely practical. It's not just theory. If it doesn't work, then it's not true, basically. If it works, it's true. To the degree that we, it works, then yeah, but, you know, even the judging that if it works or not has to be done with a grain of salt, because we cannot go by the physical evidences. If you go by the physical evidences, Jesus was crucified. People going by the physical evidence would have said, well, you know, complete failure. He died as a murderer, as a thing. But instead, you know, he was getting the greatest victory that ever was conquered in the world. So, you know, the appearance, the immediate appearance were completely misleading. Even at the end of his ministry, you know, he had to say, where are you going, you people? Are you leaving me too, to the disciples? That doesn't sound like somebody that does a dance and a shout for the great victory that he was experiencing for the response of the people that he had. Well, he wasn't telling things that they liked to hear. He said, you know, if you eat my, you know, if you drink my blood and eat my flesh, and I was turning people off completely. He was just doing exactly the opposite of what most of the people do. Do you hear what I'm saying? We want to sugarcoat the gospel, thinking that we are helping God. What we are doing is selling him short. And that's the result we get. Because we try to magnify ourselves instead of letting him do the job. Okay. Stopping now. Moving to questions. Every believer is a disciple of Jesus Christ. And a disciple of Jesus Christ, you know, create disciples. And when disciples are created, they are going to be growing in him. So that's, and so, you know, there is a transfer that takes place. And you know, the job is to do this, that that you are going to be, is by in the integration, is, you know, iron sharpened iron. So is the, is being together in the body, is being right, operating according to the spirit, so that we, every part, every joint, you know, supplies to the whole. And so we are not doing our own thing. We are doing God's work. That is the part that we, it is in charge of us, is going to happen. And that's the only thing that we are responsible. And we are not even us anymore. It's the work that, you know, the good works that he calls us to do. Okay, this okay. is the way that our salvation is manifested. Our salvation is manifested by the things we do. That hardly ever happens. First of all, because the body doesn't allow that to happen, because it's organized in a different way. And second, nobody really explains it and teaches and allows it to happen, because it works by, you know, the separation between deity and the ministry or priesthood, which is really nonsense. Every believer is a minister. Every believer is a disciple. That's the understanding that we had to get, and that's the manifestation that we had to give, because otherwise there is not the functioning of the body of Christ. There is not the authority of the believers that the Bible talks about. There are lots of things that are going to be missing, and the result are the power isn't there. But even to think on those terms goes against many of the traditional men, and so becomes really difficult to do.
Pastor,
yeah,
it was interesting. You mentioned ground, going back to ground zero, the way that the early church was functioning. And a couple of minutes ago, you mentioned that, you know, people had a chance to discuss issues and what needed to be corrected. That must have meant that they live close to one another and met on a regular basis.
Well, that's what big church is.
If we look at how nowadays a church functions, I mean, we live all over the city, we meet twice a week, and if we want to ask questions, we go to you. How are we going to go back to that? I mean, it would be nice, but how?
That's the only way it's going to work. And we had to adapt ourselves. See, the way, I mean, look at the way Jesus did it. How many Jesus really dealt with individually in a close way? How many people?
Three.
That's right. What about the 12? Well, the 12 were still there. The three were part of the 12, but the three were leading the 12. They were all connected together. Then they ministered to others. They were the one ministering to the masses. Jesus was just coming there, helping them. So he said, you go. Then he sent the 70. But, you know, that's the way it worked. There is no reason whatsoever why it shouldn't work the same way. Unless we are caught up into the idea of the church, the way it's run generally.
I'm just wondering how we can do it in our church.
Yes, we can, to a degree.
We need to do changes.
I believe it. I'm trying to. But expectations are one thing. They produce or not changes. what people want is not necessarily what is the best thing to do. If what should be there isn't there, then it's not going to happen. Somebody said something?
Sorry, yeah, that was me.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So just touching base, like where I'm finding in the Bible and where Jesus also and Paul and just kind of touching base where they were growing in community, I guess a different, like, and also how God really seeing that he doesn't contradict himself, but he doesn't deal with everything the same way. Yes, in the same, yeah, like even if it seems like he's doing something opposite for whatever reason that is, it's in total harmony with overall what he's doing, but it can seem very different in if you're looking at it, and like he's so and just that I'm finding it really helpful to more and more as I'm getting strength and soundness in him, like a sense that he keeps reiterating to me to keep growing in connection, but also keep coming also out of the world more and more, like spend time sitting still, trusting yeah. him to show up, reading parts of the scripture and bringing them to him in the promise to change me and guide me than so much of what opinions yeah. otherwise, like it's so helpful to learn, but mm-hmm. then trying to go by reason or my own thought process.
You have to deal with the issues. Yeah.
So to that just and where they would spend different times, really spending time just alone in his, but then yeah. connecting very yeah. ways to do everything that well, as a body.
You have to reprocess the things you're getting within right. yourself so that you get resolved the things, the different ideas, the different things that are, competing one with another. And mm-hmm. you can make your own conclusion and decisions. And if those are the right decisions, you're going to produce good results.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Okay.
I have a question or a comment.
Okay.
I think it would be helpful, if not tonight, next time, if you would share your vision to answer I had this picture in my mind of a whole bunch of tiny homes in our backyard, so we're all together. But I don't think that's the intention.
Well,
I'm trying to be funny, guys.
No, that's
I appreciate my humor.
No, that's okay. I'm going to get to that. You are anticipating things. That takes time to get there. So I'm going to explain more. I mean, that's not my vision. That's not my idea. I'm just repeating or describing what the word says, not what has been implemented. Because as the church developed in the Roman Empire, then the approach was the Roman Empire approach. I mean, we exercise, we create an army, they fight together, they're put together, they put, you get all the people, you just get here, get the meeting that way, and everything works together under the general there, and there is, there are soldiers and generals. There is no soldier and general here, there is only, people that the body of Christ ministry into the world around. And, that's where the job gets done, at the ground level. That's why I say ground zero. And ground zero is the individual that gets saved. It has to respond, has to be guided in the process of growing into Christ. That's what the goal, the plan for God, for each person is. But, you said that 20, 30 years ago, Jesus, you know, and just so special, you know, and it's completely unreachable. I'm sorry. That's not God's perspective. God's perspective is for everyone to grow into the stature of Him. And before He comes, that has to happen, because otherwise He cannot come. Otherwise, there is no remnant. I mean, there had to be people like Paul and Peter and the others running around the place and producing the same result that they did. Not giving themselves a title, but producing the results. And these people were uneducated people. Peter was not, you know, Paul was educated, was okay, but fine. But Peter was a fisherman. All the other one were kind of, you know, one was a tax collector, another one was thing. So it wasn't people that had gone to the Hillel or the other school there, or the Pharisees that they have, you know, special training that was just theoretical. That all the people that have been trained before failed completely. Most of them even rejected Jesus because they have been trained according to men's ideas. And you were really what the Jews believe were what their conclusion was, because was their interpretation what the prophet said, which is really wasn't the truth. The prophet knew what they were talking about because they had the Holy Spirit, but the Pharisees didn't have the Holy Spirit, so they didn't know what the Holy Spirit was saying. Because to understand what the Holy Spirit is saying, you have to be a prophet. Today, we have the Holy Spirit. Is it the difference now? We have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is inside you and me and everybody else. And He's there to bring us into all truth. That's why Jesus said, He said, to advantage that I go away, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. That means, you know, put us at the advantage of anybody in the Old Testament. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. We do have the Holy Spirit. Are we listening to Him? Are we, you know, having fellowship with Him the way He should? Or are we going according to the things we have learned that somebody told us that sometime may be true, sometime may not be true? My vision is not, although I believe I have God's perspective in this, but my vision is not critical. It's what the Word says that is critical. Okay? And not what man has made. Yes, Lucy.
I just wanted to, if you could explain a bit more, when you mentioned that we have to submit to others is what we need to do, to serve others so they can serve. Mm-hmm. Could you, and you mentioned about the same thing, serving others in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
If you could just elaborate a little bit more.
See, the church is the body, is a body. It's not a building or not, you know, it's a number of people coming together, okay, with the Holy Spirit in them, and that they help each other. And they minister to each other. Okay. And that ministry means actually, you know, ministry serving, period. That word is confusing. It becomes a religious connotation. The word ministry or serving is the same thing. So actually, you do something not for yourself, but for others. Okay. That's the basis to be part of the body. Okay. Well, you don't only serve the people in the body, you serve even the people that you come in contact with day to day, because you want them to accept the Lord and to become part of the body. And the body is really a local entity of people connected together, working together, okay, and operating together. Okay. With, the people that are, more mature and people that are less mature, but they are working together so that there is, that spreading of experience and authority that comes there, and it comes directly from God, according to the appointment and the anointing that God has given. Okay, so that is what the operation, the way the body should function, the way it operated in the early church. If you read in the book of Acts, you can see that was taking place. And generally what was happening was, even the book of Revelation, talking about the church of Ephesus, the church of Laodicea. So there are people coming together. Okay? And they were judged as an entity. Okay? The personal identity is immersed into a greater identity. Okay? Operating together, the unity is what the key things of the Holy Spirit. If you see when they were together in unity, the Holy Spirit worked supernaturally, that the place shook. When they pray in unity, and the whole things, get to a new level of power, because they were all joining together in faith. And they were, not each one trying to do their own thing. And when there was somebody that was doing their own thing, they got in trouble.
That was
the mentality. I mean, he's not used to really. You have to see what the scriptures say at the beginning and see the way it was implemented then. And it was not perfect. You see, the idea is perfect. No, they were making some mistakes there too. But the point is, the principle they were operating by were much closer to the way God wants them than the way now we are going completely off tangent, and we are not anymore reflecting what the connection, the spiritual connection between people is. Okay, the transference of spirit, the impact of transference of spirit that takes place when there is a proper communion or fellowship or koinonia. Okay, with people. Okay, that's why sometimes small is better than big. That's why, local is essential. That's why close contact between people accepting and working together is critical. And all of them can be imperfect, but with the operation of the gifts of different people, then the ministry takes place, and they in love help each other to grow and to overcome the limitations that are coming from the experiences from the world, the hurts and the problem that we inherited, but from our families that are not in the Lord, or other people that we come in contact with and we grow up with. See, God establishes his own family. We are the children of God, the same Father, together, working and operating the way God wants. And like all the families, not everybody is at the same level and not everybody is perfect. Well, that's fine. But we have to function. And that's why I say ground zero. Each one of us has to see himself properly in the context of what the church is, understanding what the body of Christ, I preached about before the body of Christ, whether I showed the different representation in the Bible of the body, so as the bride, as the body of Christ, as the church and everything, as all the different titles that or names or symbols that they use that they have a meaning, okay, they have a purpose. But when we stick with the values that are given in the Bible, I think we're going to get the result that the Bible says. And then at the end, that's the way it's going to be. You cannot have a church in isolation. You cannot have people ministering properly in isolation. That's modern theology.
Thank you, Pastor.
You're welcome.
Very clear now. Thank you.
Well, a bit clear, and not so much, but you know, just touching the surface here. Okay, anybody else? Oh my goodness, 9:08. Time to go to bed. Okay, I'm going to close in prayer. But if you notice the two things on Saturday, on Thursday and Sunday are kind of coming together. I'm filling in the gap that I cannot talk about on Sunday on Thursdays. So that there is actually a continuity in expanding some of the ideas. Anyway, let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit guide us. That's what you said. That's what we believe. That's what we receive, Lord. Help us, Lord, to understand how we are going to be able to appropriate the things that you have done for us. Lord, how we can identify the sacred cows that have been around for 2,000 years. Lord, and now we can slaughter them, and Lord, allow you to bring us a new revelation, new understanding, and the ability, Lord, to grow the way you want us to grow, Lord, to become freer, to become more, Lord, powerful, more full of your power, and to have the manifestation, Lord, of the gift that you have given us, Lord, more evident, you know, the power to minister to one another, the power, Lord, to enable each other to, Lord, overcome our limitations as we help each other and as we allow your love to work in us. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for loving us first, Lord, and to put in your love in our heart so that, Lord, we may learn to function the way you work, the way you function. We praise and thank you about everything you've done and the things you're going to do, Lord. We ask you that you help us to grow more and more into what you, Lord, want us to become. So, Lord, that we may please you as we, Lord, use our faith and our love to operate as your members in your body, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.